Hello everyone and welcome back to my podcast. Today's episode is a little bit special because this is actually the first episode here I'm recording completely in English. Usually I record in German, so this is a bit of a new experience for me and for you, and I thought it would be interesting to try this. Because the topic we are talking about today is something that is discussed internationally in sports science and performance training. So recording this episode in English hopefully allows more people and more athletes and more coaches to understand and learn about it. And the topic is neuroathletic training. Yoo-hoo! And now, if you have never heard this term before, don't worry. Even in the sports world, many athletes and many coaches are still not very familiar with it. But once you understand the basic idea behind neuroathletic training, it can completely change the way you think about your training, your performance, and even your thoughts and idea about the topic pain. Because the central idea behind neuroathletic training is actually very simple. Your brain controls everything your body does. Your brain decides how much strength you use. It decides how fast can you move. It decides how stable your body feels, and sometimes it even decides whether you feel pain or not. To make this episode easy to follow, I'm going to break the topic down into several parts. In each part, we will focus on important aspects of neuroathletic training and look at it a little more closely. So this episode, we will go step by step and talk about why the brain is the real control center of movement, how the nervous system influences athletic performance, the three main sensory systems that affect movement, and how athletes can train these systems to improve performance. So let's go. And we start with part one. Movement always starts in the brain. And it's so crazy for me to speak about my passion and my favorite topic in English. It's so crazy. I hope you understand my way to think about this topic, and I hope you can feel and understand the main points and why neuroathletic training is so important for the future of fighters. When most people think about improving athletic performance, they think about things like building stronger muscles, improving endurance, practicing technique, and doing more conditioning. And of course, all of these things are important. But here's something many people forget. Muscles don't decide to move on their own. Muscles only contract when the brain sends a signal through the nervous system. Every movement you make, whether you are running, jumping, throwing, lifting weights, or simply standing, starts with a signal from the brain. And your brain constantly receives information from the body and from the environment. It processes these information and then decides how the body should respond. And there is one very important question the brain always asks. Is this movement safe? If the brain believes the movement is safe and predictable, it allows your body to perform at a high level. That means you can produce more speed, more coordination, or maybe a better control. But if the brain is unsure or detects potential danger, it becomes protective. And in this situation, the brain will reduce performance on purpose. This can show up as slower movements, limited mobility, poor balance, or even in pain. From the brain's perspective, protecting the body is always more important than maximizing performance or doing performance or living performance. And this is actually, this is exactly where neuroathletic training becomes interesting. Your brain needs good information. For the brain to make good decisions about movement, it needs good information. You can think of the brain like a control center. If the control center receives clear and reliable information, it can make good decisions. But if the information is unclear, incomplete, or confusing sometimes, the brain becomes more cautious, or the brain can't work with the information because they are not as good as they could be to do your movement or to do your mental performance. And when the brain becomes this way, performance goes down. The brain mainly receives information about movement from three important systems in the body. There are more systems in the body to get these information, but these three systems are the best is not the right word. They are the famous one. I can say it in this way. And these systems are: one, the visual system, so your eyes; two, the vestibular system, your balance system; and three, the proprioceptive system. Let's look at these a little closer. The visual system includes the eyes and the part of the brain that processes visual information. Vision is extremely important for movement. Your brain constantly uses eyes to understand where you are in the space, how fast objects or your opponent are moving, how far away things are, and how your body is in the position in the environment. So what is the position of your body in the octagon, on the mat, or in the environment? If your visual system was working well, your brain receives clear information. But if the eyes are not working, if eye movements are slower or unstable, or you get a kick or blood in your eyes, the brain receives poor information that can affect things like reaction time, coordination, balance, and many other performance skills. And this is why some neuroathletic exercises focus on training eye movements. The next part is the vestibular system, and this system is located in the inner ear. This system helps your brain to understand your head position, your movement through space, and your balance. And it's one of the most important systems for stability and orientation. If the vestibular system is not working well, people can experience dizziness, poor balance, coordination problems, or discomfort during head movement. Athletes rely heavily on the vestibular system, especially in sports that require quick changes in direction or fast head movement. Neuroathletic training often includes exercise to train these skills that improve how the brain processes these vestibular information. And last but not least, the proprioceptive system, the third system of your neuro body, includes sensors in the muscle, joints, and connective tissue. These sensors send information to the brain about joint position, muscle tension, and body awareness. And proprioception always you to know where your body is without looking at it. For example, you can close your eyes and still know where your arms or legs are in position. If proprioception is not working well, the brain becomes less confident about joint stability. As a result, it may limit strength or mobility to protect your body. The next point I want to talk about with you is that better input leads better output. One of the most important ideas in neuroathletic training is that the brain controls the output of the body based on the quality of input it receives. In other words, the brain receives better sensory information. It often allows better performance. Let's look at a practical example. Imagine a fighter who has limited shoulder mobility. The traditional approach might be stretch the shoulder muscles, mobilize the joint, or more strength training surround the muscles. And sometimes that works. But sometimes the limitation is not actually caused by tight muscles. Instead, the brain may feel that the joint position is unsafe. So it creates stiffness to protect the joint. If we improve the brain's ability to understand the joint position through maybe proprioceptive exercise or visual drills, the brain may allow more movement. In some cases, mobility improves almost immediately. Another example is strength. Some athletes experience sudden strength increases after certain eye exercise or balance drills. And why does that happen? Because the brain suddenly receives better information about the body and the environment. When the brain feels safer, it allows the muscles to produce more force. So in neuroathletic training, the focus is not only on training muscles. It is also about improving the information the brain receives. Neuroathletic training is very individual. Another important principle is that neuroathletic training is highly individual. Every brain is different. Two athletes may have the same sport or the same training program and similar physical abilities, but their nervous system may function very differently. That means one exercise may help one athlete a lot, while it does nothing for another athlete. And this reason many neuro coaches started with simple tests. They may tests like eye movement control, visual tracking, balance response, joint awareness. I would test your breathing, how you are walking. Your walk is a very, very special tool to understand your nervous system, or tolerance for head movement. Based on these tests, we choose specific exercises that target weak areas of the nervous system. And one interesting thing about neuroathletic training or neurotraining, it's the same, is that the results are often imitated. If an exercise is helpful for the brain, you may see improvements within seconds or minutes. For example, better balance, more mobility, faster reaction, a stronger grip, or even skills you have to on a high level in fight sport, in combat sport. If an exercise makes performance worse, that is an also useful information for me as a neurocoach, because it means that the brain currently does not benefit from this exercise. So the program can be adjusted. This constant feedback makes neuroathletic training very dynamic. Although neuroathletic training become popular in elite sports, it is now used to many other areas in rehabilitation after injuries, in treatment of chronic pain, in balance and coordination training, in movement therapy, and even in cognitive performance, because the nervous system influences almost everything we do. When the brain receives better sensory input, the body often becomes more efficient and stable. This can help not only professional athletes, but also everyday people. For example, people who want to improve posture, people recovering from injuries, or people who want to move more confidently. In many cases, improving how the brain processes information can lead to better movement quality. So, to summarize today's episode, neuroathletic training is based on a simple but powerful idea. The brain is the control center of movement. Instead of focusing only on muscles, neurotraining also focuses on improving how the brain receives and processes sensory information. And you know the three most important systems, the visual, vestibular, and proprioceptive system. When these systems provide clear and reliable information, the brain feels safe. And when the brain feels safe, it also allows the body to perform at a higher level. That means better coordination, better mobility, better reaction, and sometimes even less pain. If you found this topic interesting, I can definitely talk more about it in future episodes. For example, we could go deeper into specific neuroathletic exercise, how to test the nervous system, or how can athletes integrate neurotraining into the regular workouts. But this was, the first episode for me in English to make this topic more internationally and communicate with fighter that don't speak German. That's an important thing for me in the future. And I would really appreciate your feedback. Let me know what you think. I know my English is not the best English in the world, but I can give very, very good trainings in English. And this was my first time in English here, and I was very nervous. I sit here alone at my table with my dog behind me, and I'm nervous with me alone, because when I can speak in German, it is more easier for me to describe things deeper as in English. In English, I will try to explain the basics, but I have so many German words and German ideas how I can describe it better as in English. And this is a start for me to go out of my comfort zone and try to explain this wonderful training approach in English. So let me know what you think. Should I do more episodes in English, or do you think, oh no, Lara, don't do this again? Thanks for listening. Thanks for your time. And I'll see you in the next episode, back in the German language.